Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidil mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to another beautiful episode on the splendid silsila Treasures of Wisdom, and we hope that you and your families are doing well and are keeping in the best of health, inshallah. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Alhamdulillah, we thank our creator, our most merciful creator, our most forgiving, most compassionate creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for granting us yet another beautiful day in which we may be more obedient towards our creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every moment of our life, every stage of our life that we pass through, we always must show thanks and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is what is going to take us prosper throughout this life, throughout this journey of life, showing gratitude and showing thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, today again, mashallah, we have a beautiful topic of discussion, and that is intentions make an impact. And to discuss this beautiful topic with me, I have in studio our honorable and respected guest, Mawlana Naushad Attari, hafizahullah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you keeping, Mawlana sahib?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal.
How are you doing? Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Well, Mawlana sahib, we do have a very interesting topic of discussion, and that is intentions make an impact, in which we will be discussing various different aspects and angles with regards to intentions as a whole, right, and how it's so impactful in one's life. Inshallah, as we go on, we will be diving into these various different aspects and angles, inshallah. But before that, dear viewers of Madani channel, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this regard, our beloved master Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that the closest to me on the day of Qiyamah, on the day of judgment, will be that individual who has recited the most amount of salawat upon me in this world. So let us also all collectively, with full of love, recite salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we are discussing this beautiful and quite deep topic. Actually, it may seem one may think intention, okay, something light, something small, and it's not that much of a big thing, but rather intentions are very, very important. And if you open Sahih al-Bukhari, the first hadith that's mentioned is about intention, is about niyyah. Innama al-a'malu bin niyyat, that verily actions are judged by intentions. Now we have to, inshallah, in this episode, we are going to give the deeper insights of how an intention is so important to be made before doing a deed, before doing any good deed, whatever the good deed may be. Make a good intention before that, even if it means you doing something that you do on a daily basis. But when you make a good intention, that same chore that you would do, that would now become rewarding. instead of just doing it on a daily basis and getting nothing from them. Now when you make an intention to do it, when you make an intention that I am doing this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am doing this to make my parents happy, to make my spouse happy, I am doing this to put happiness into the hearts of other fellow Muslims, that same act becomes rewarding.
In fact, this is why they say that the difference between ibadah and adah is niyyah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Meaning, the difference between worship and a habit is the intention. Okay. For example, if I'm wearing Imam al-Sharif every day, so maybe I'll tie it in the morning.
Right.
But did I make the intention that I'm tying it because it is sunnah? Or because I'm so habitual of tying the Imam al-Sharif or using Miswak Sharif or doing any sunnah, I'm so habitual with it that it's now a habit. And if I want to earn reward in doing those things, for each time I have to make the intention. Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, I'm going to tie this Imam al-Sharif because it is a sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
So it wouldn't mean that if you tied the Imam al-Sharif once and you made an intention before that, so it doesn't mean that the second time or third time or fourth time,
for
you mustn't make the intention.
For each time you have to make intention.
Oh, some people may think, okay, I'm tying it once and then after this I don't need to make any intention. They think it's an autopilot, it's automatic, the intention.
Let's say in the morning you tied the Imam al-Sharif, you made your good intentions, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Durood-e Pak, for the whole day you wore it.
Right.
And the next day comes, maybe you untied it and now you're going to tie it again now. And you're going to wait for the day. So you've got to make your intentions. So that's what differentiates the habit. Something becomes a habit from worship and earning thawab, which is the intention. And that is the power of intentions. It, in fact, there is some principles that Islam teaches us that regarding intentions, the more good intentions a person makes, the more thawab he will get, the more reward he will get.
For one...
Even you do one thing,
for one
deed. One good deed.
Right.
But if you make several good intentions, then for each good intention, you get separate rewards.
Oh, so it isn't like for one good, for one deed, you must only make one intention for that.
No, you can make several rewards.
Several intentions just for doing one
deed. Take for example, the scholars advise, if you're giving charity,
Right?
Is there any intention or not? Or you saw a poor person and you just took out some money and gave them. But if you made intentions before, now remember, intention is what is in your heart, what is in your mind.
Right.
But ulama have mentioned it's better to verbalize and say it, what your intentions are. So your inside and your outside is synchronized.
Right.
It's together.
Both are hand in hand.
Hand in hand. What is your mind saying, what your heart is saying, that why I'm doing this? If you're saying it, for example, you're giving charity, oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I'm going to give this sadaqah, this charity, this donation to please you, to please the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to earn reward for removal of any bala, any calamity.
Right.
I'm giving this so that I can make Muslims happy. I'm going to uplift another Muslim. I'm giving this, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, to remove any difficulty that is approaching me.
Right.
I'm giving this as Isali Thawab for the Marhumeen. So you made like maybe 5, 6, 7 intentions just for one act.
Subhanallah.
And for each one you're getting a separate reward. Likewise, if there's no intention for the good deed, there's no reward. Because all deeds are according to the intentions. And there's no intention meaning no reward. And there's another important aspect, which is if a person has a bad intention, but the act is good, he may get punishment for that. Giving charity again. But if the intention in the heart, remember we can't see people's intentions.
Okay.
But
so
inside he's thinking, so inside
he
has it in his heart. He knows about it. Others don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of course knows.
Right.
I'm giving this so people can praise me, can call me generous and kind. I'm giving this so the next time I come to this person, he knows that, you know, he owes me. So there's ulterior motives.
Right.
Oh, I'm giving this for showing off. You know? So the showing off, ostentation, the riya is a spiritual disease. So the act is good. The deed is good. But the intention is rotten. So there will be punishment for that.
So Maharaj, it can be put in this way here, where you have a person, for example, you have person A who has 1 ren with him, for example, right? And his intention is that I am giving this 1 ren in charity to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And you have another person who has 100 ren, but his intention is to show others how much I can give. So if you take both, the person who gave just 1 ren, his one will be, his charity will be more weightier and more impactful than the person who gave 100 ren with no intention.
Yeah, so you see, this is how it works. If the intention is good and the money you're giving is from halal sources, you're giving it with the correct intention, you're giving it for to the proper people, like if you're giving zakat, you can't just see a person is poor and give them your zakat.
Right.
You have to investigate. No? So the person who made no intention and he just gave it, or he made a bad intention, the first case, no reward, second case, he'll get punishment. And all ibadat, for it to be accepted through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's two main pillars. One is it has to be done correctly.
Right.
And the other is the intention must be proper, must be correct as well.
These two main pillars. One, it must be done correctly, and the other, the intention must be there.
Yes, the correct intention must be there.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Also, Masab, I recall a very interesting story, right? And in this, it's mentioned that there was an Ajami, a non-Arab, right? He was walking past a group of friends who were Arab, right? And they were speaking Arabic in the sense that they were teasing one another and stuff like that, you know, in a jovial, joking way. So this Ajami, this non-Arab, he walks past them, and to him it's foreign. He doesn't know anything, right? But when he hears them speaking Arabic, he thinks, that the non-Arab, he thinks that they are making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And so, whatever they're saying, he starts to say the same thing with this intention in mind, that, you know what, let me imitate them also. They're doing something good according to him. They're making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to his mindset. In his perspective, this is what he was thinking.
Right.
So let me also copy them and say what they are saying. So he did that. And it's mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave this person just because of that thing.
Allahu Akbar. His good thinking.
His good thinking.
Subhanallah.
The intention that he had behind it. So in this way, Masab, we see that how intentions are so impactful in one's life. And if we have to, you know, implement this, that before doing anything, we should not be rushing quickly to do that. Rather, take a step back, breathe a little, and contemplate, why are you doing this? Who are you doing it for? What's your purpose behind doing it? You know, take that self-introspection about yourself. Ask yourself these questions before doing the act. And then think that whatever I'm doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to show people. Because as Muasab has mentioned, that you get two people, one who gives for the sake of Allah, one who's donating just to show people. One for, he wants to have recognition, and the result is one gets reward and the other, he just gets praises from the people, which is only for this dunya and something which is temporary. We have to remember this beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at your appearance nor your wealth. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at your hearts and your actions.
Subhanallah.
This is what matters. What is in your heart and your actions. Not about how you are appearing to people, not about how much you got in your pocket or how much is in your bank balance. That doesn't matter. What matters is your intention, what's in your heart, and your deeds that you do. You know, if we have to break it down in this way here, right? A person who does not have an intention, which would mean that whatever this person does, he's not finding purpose. He's not finding meaning to what he is doing.
You see, Masab, Islam wants us to live a conscious life.
A meaningful life.
Meaningful. Right. Be conscious of what you are doing and why you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just do it as a routine. Yes, we all have our routines.
Right.
But we can earn reward. And so many of us, believe me, we miss out on tons of reward because we forget to make good intentions.
Intentions.
And me personally, and I think many out there will identify with this as well.
Gee.
That I never knew about this concept. Okay, you heard about, okay, make a good intention. But there was never any emphasis until I entered into Dawud Islam. And again and again, hearing Amir al-Sunnat, achi niyate, make good intentions. And the training is there that before you're starting your bayan, make good intentions, you're starting your program, make good intentions, daras, good intentions, everywhere good intentions, you know, always good intentions, even nek amal, pious deeds, reminding yourself, did you make good intentions today? You're reminding yourself. Because Islam wants us to live a conscious life, that before I do this, why am I doing it? For what? To please the people, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to earn reward.
So, Masab, how does intentions shape a person's life, shape a believer's life? Is it just that a person makes the intention and is just carrying out the act? Is that all that there is to it? Or in which way does it shape a person's life, Masab?
See, the intention also motivates one. Because even if a person makes a firm intention to do a good deed, example,
right.
Oh Allah Azza wa Jalla, I am going to fast on Monday because it is Sunnah. Monday comes and maybe they wake up late for whatever reason, they don't get to fast.
Right.
They already earned the reward because they made the good intention. So intention is your first step actually.
So here, even if a person made the intention,
he made the intention,
but he didn't carry it out.
Yes, for whatever reason, he was unable to carry it out.
He would still be rewarded.
The reward's already there.
Subhanallah,
subhanallah. And subhanallah azza wa jal, we are taught your good deeds, we must hide. Hide the good deeds. And protect the good deeds by making good intentions. That's how we protect it. There's a beautiful story where this pious person, he was on his deathbed. He was a sheikh.
Right.
So his murids, his students, family was all around his bed. They surrounded the whole room was full of them. They were around his bed. And he was very sick on his deathbed. So he tells everybody, I want all of you to make some good intentions with me. So they said, Labbaik. He said, Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I intend to perform Hajj, please take me for Hajj. Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I intend to give sadaqat and charities, please grant me the ability to do so. Oh Allah, and like this he made many good intentions and everybody repeated after him. And one of the students said, Shaykh, we know your condition, but why are you making good intentions at this time when you are, you know, on your deathbed?
Right.
He said, my son, the good intentions that we are making now is because if I were to live longer, inshallah, we will fulfill these good intentions.
Subhanallah.
And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to take my life, at least we get the reward of it. Because as soon as you make the good intention, you already got the reward.
Right.
So this is what we need to do. In fact, Amir al-Sunnah Dawud Barakatum al-Aliyah, the founder of Dawud Islam, Kamil Wali of Allah subhanahu, he in fact advises us, the moment you wake up in the morning, you read your dua for awakening, start with your good intentions. Same time, before you even come out from the bed.
Right.
Ya Allah, so today I'm going to do good deeds. I'm going to read all my salahs. I'm going to obey you, Ya Allah. I'm going to obey Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm going to protect my gaze, my sight, my ears, what I say. Ya Allah, I'm going to read the Quran. I'm going to read the Durood Sharif. I'm going to read Istighfar. Ya Allah, I'm going to learn the deen. I'm going to practice the sunnah. Like this, you can make hundreds
Subhanallah,
of intentions.
Subhanallah.
So now, what you're saying is what is in your mind. Because as they say, if you think good, that's internal
right.
now.
Right.
Your intentions. You think good, then you will speak good. You will do good. and good things will happen.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Masad, that was truly inspiring. Alhamdulillah.
That's what ulama ikram teach us.
Yes.
We're just sharing it with everybody else.
100%, subhanallah. And Masad, you know, you've shed much light. And this is really, really important, because some people may think that if they made an intention and they didn't do the act, then they wouldn't be rewarded. And mashallah, Mawlana Sahib has mentioned that even if you made an intention, for example, you want to fast on a Monday, and you made that intention to fast on a Monday, but something happened and you couldn't make it to fast on a Monday, because of that good intention that you made, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still reward you for it. Subhanallah. And this reminds me actually of another story, Mawlana Sahib, you know, to substantiate this, a very beautiful story wherein there was an individual, and this individual was from the time of Bani Israel. He was one of those people. And one day he had this thing in him that he killed one person, then he killed two, then he killed three, then he killed the fourth, sixth. And it went right up until 99 people. 99 people, this Allah. Individual from Bani Israel, he killed. And thereafter, he had this remorse in him, this regret in him. So he decided to go to a monk, and he told the monk that I killed 99 people. Is there any chance of forgiveness for me? Are the doors of forgiveness still open for me? This monk, hearing him and the background that he's coming from, told him in a nutshell, in this way, that, you know what, are you okay in your head? You killed 99 people. And you come in here to me asking if the doors of forgiveness are open for you? How can it be open for you? The doors are closed, completely closed. This person, he lost all his hope. He became hopeless. And because of that, he ended up killing this monk, and he made it a complete century. 100 people he killed now. 100 people. Again, he's searching for answers. He wants someone to give him this hope. And so he comes across a very pious scholar, Masa. And he goes to the scholar. He tells him all what happened. That before coming to him, he killed the monk as well. And now he's asking him that, can you tell me, are the doors of forgiveness open for me? Will I be forgiven? This pious scholar, he tells him, my brother, the doors of forgiveness, they are open for you. It's open. This person, he gets so happy. Allah. That hope comes back. And he says, okay, tell me. What must I do? Tell me, what can I do now? And so this pious scholar, he tells him that, you know what, first of all, you should leave this area and go to another particular city in which you would find the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the friends, the awliya Allah. Go there, be in their company, make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshaAllah, Allah ta'ala will forgive you. So now this person, Masab, who killed 100 people in total, right? He made this firm intention that, you know what, I am leaving everything behind. I admit that I did wrong. I'm regretting over it, and I'm ashamed, and I do not want to do this again.
Okay.
So he departs. As he departs, halfway through his journey, he dies. He passes away. Angels of mercy come. Angels of punishment come. Angels of mercy are saying, we are going to take him. Angels of punishment are saying, no, we are going to take him.
Right.
Then Allah Ta'ala ordered for the land to be measured, where he was coming from to where he was going to.
Allah.
The land was measured. And it was said that if the land in which he is closer, where he was coming from, if he's closer to that, angels of punishment must take him.
Allah.
And if he's closer towards his destination, then the angels of mercy must take him. So the land was measured, and Allah Ta'ala, through the infinite mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala brought the land closer to where he was going to.
Subhanallah.
When the land was measured, it was found out that he was closer now to his destination. Allah. And the angel of mercy, they had taken him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. Now, this parable teaches us, Masab, how beautiful it is that this individual,
subhanallah,
he only made an intention, Masab. He didn't even reach his destination.
Right.
He wasn't even in the company of those pious people. He didn't do anything as yet. You know, he was going to act out everything when he reached there.
Mm.
But halfway viewers of Madani channel, this person, he passed away. Allah Ta'ala forgave him. And the, one of the many reasons for this is firstly that this person had a very sincere intention to change. And due to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. Now we come to know and see that how impactful making an intention is in our life, in our everyday life. How impactful it is. If we ask a question, how do we guard our sincerity in an age, in the time that we are living in now, where everything is shared online. If you're talking about nowadays, Master, everything is shared online. How does a person guard this sincerity? How do we guard our sincerity? So this then we have to realize that we must always, on a regular basis, check our heart. Ask our heart this question, that if no one ever knew I did this particular act, would I still do it? If no one knew that I was giving charity, would I still be giving charity? Or am I doing all of this because I want people to know I did X, Y, and Z? This is how we would come to know whether we are sincere or not. So sincerity is key. Sincerity is key to goodness. Be sincere in your intentions. Don't just make intentions like that. Rather, one should ponder over the intentions more. So
it's called the pause.
The pause.
Yeah.
Before making the intention.
Before doing the good deed.
Okay.
So that's when you are going to pause.
Right.
And you're going to make your good intentions. Right. So for example, salah. Many a times what we do is we get up, we make a quick intention and Allahu Akbar and quick, you know, we just want to get over with it.
Right.
But before you even say Allahu Akbar, stand there for a few seconds at least, 10 seconds. Breathe in, calm down, make your good intentions slowly. Ya Allah, I'm performing this salah for you. So and what you're doing is you are mentally readying yourself for the performance of salah, which is the physical action. But mentally you're preparing yourself.
Right.
And likewise for any other good deed. Before you just open the Quran and start reading. Now it's on the phones, tablets, right?
Gee.
Before you start, pause. Hang on. Think for a while. Ya Allah, I'm going to read this Quran to please you, Ya Allah. I'm going to read this Quran to earn reward. I'm going to read this Quran so it will become an intercessor for me on the day of judgment. I'm going to read this Quran so the thawab must go to the marhumin. And you can specify. So like this, any good deed, any good act out there, if you pause, it helps you to, you know, clear your mind of everything else and start making your good intentions.
It can make you like reflect and ponder.
Yes, yes. I mean, look, they say that idleness is the devil's workshop. So if your mind is empty and you're just sitting and doing nothing, then shaitan is going to come and start putting evil thoughts. But even if you're sitting quietly, you don't need to keep your mind empty.
Right.
Think, contemplate, think about the hereafter. Think about how am I going to leave this world? In what condition? Think about what's going to happen to me in the grave? This contemplation is very healthy for you. That when my name is called out in front of everybody and my book of deeds are given, which hand I'm going to be given? So you can think, you can keep, even you sitting quietly, peacefully, even in the masjid.
Right.
What intention do you make in the masjid?
Nawaitu sunnat
al-i'tikaf. We make that intention so that even if you sit quietly, your thawab meter is going, running. You're getting reward for the whole time because you prepared yourself and you made your intention and you made your dua for entry into the masjid. And even if you're sitting quietly, contemplate and think about healthy things that will be beneficial for you. Think about, maybe I hurt somebody's, did I hurt anybody's feelings? I must contact them. I must apologize. If I took something unlawfully, unjustly, I need to return it. So this is how you're bettering yourself from the inside out.
Right.
Not from the outside in.
Inside
on
out.
Because on the outside, we look like, hey, we are pious people, so nice, clean, smelling so nice. Good. You must do that.
Right.
But is my inside clean? My thoughts.
That's a very important question.
Mind, my heart, my thinking, is it clean? Is it pure? Who's going to know? We're going to know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this one. He knows what our intentions are. He knows the inner recesses of our heart. Even nobody is around. And I'm giving that, putting that 5 rand in the lillah box. Is my heart anywhere there that I hope somebody sees me?
Allah.
Maybe through the cameras, maybe somebody will see me.
Or like, maybe you know, through a tiny hole, someone must just peep and just look at me.
Somebody must see me. Oh, you know what? I don't care about the people.
Right.
I'm not a people pleaser. My Allah is seeing me, nah? Nobody is there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all seeing, all hearing, all knowing. He's seeing me, He's watching me, He's listening to me. He's looking at the condition of the heart, the narration you mentioned earlier. So I'm putting that 5 rand in the box. I make my good intentions first. So we need to keep checking. Because what shaitan does is, he got some tricks, some poisonous arrows.
Right.
First, he tries to persuade the person, do it later, man. The charity, you want to help that person out, you know, you want to wake up for salah or something, later, don't worry. After an hour, after half an hour. 1 hour goes to 2 to 4 and then time is gone.
Right.
So he has these delaying tactics. But if you break free from those traps and you get to do, get down to do the good deed, now he doesn't leave you alone. He tries to whisper in the heart that, hey, you know what, my name came to read a Qiraat. What intention you reading Qiraat with? My name came to read Naat Sharif. What intention you reading Naat? My name keep, I'm giving Bayan over here. What intention you are doing? You're telling the people, make your good intentions. Have you made your good intention? The speaker I'm talking about, have you made your good intentions? Your name is on for dhikrullah or dua. What's your intention? I want people to cry when I make dua. And you know, they must come and say, hey, what a beautiful dua you made. We're not there to judge anybody. We must judge ourselves.
So also on this basis, intentions can be mixed as well. Way in through the waswasas of shaitan.
That's what he tries to do. He tries to rob you of your reward for the good deed by whispering or persuading us to make evil intentions or evil thoughts about another Muslim. That guy is not picking up my call. He doesn't this. You know, and then all the ill suspicion comes. Maybe then the jealousy, the backbiting, and then hatred and malice. This is how he starts things. It's a small things he does. And then he makes, as they say, it's a storm in a teacup.
Right.
You know, teacup is small. So something small, it gets blown out of proportion. That's the job of shaitan. Now that's what he does.
Right.
So we must protect our good deeds by keep checking on our intentions.
And riya is that one thing, showing off. Is that one thing which can destroy or ruin one's intention and the act itself?
Yes. What it does, it destroys the rewards that you earn from doing the good deed with the evil intention of showing off.
But if the intention is good at the beginning.
Right.
And then the person started doing the act, and then the sense of showing off came in. So it will diminish all of that.
So as soon as you get to know, hey, you know what, I'm showing off. This is why Islam wants us to live a conscious life. Be conscious of every step that you're taking. Awliya Allah, the pious ones, lived like that.
Subhanallah.
Every moment, every word, they calculated it. Every step they took, they were conscious, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. They trained themselves to that extent that every step they took, they were conscious. Every move they made, they were conscious. Everything they said or did, they were conscious. We are very far from that.
Right.
It's not something you can just learn.
Overnight, it's no.
It doesn't work. It's going to take you your entire life to make it part of who you are. That Amir al-Sunnah advises us. Before you do anything good, anything permitted, what you must read? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So mentally now, I'm starting this in the name of Allah. So you're programming your mind. I'm starting with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for there to be blessings in this thing.
Right.
But how many of us do that? When we're entering the home, do we recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim and enter with the right foot? The narration says, the person who does not recite Bismillah and enters, a shaitan, a devil enters with them into the home. The job of the devil is to create friction between husband and wife, children and parents. And we want to know why the domestic problems are there. Do you recite Bismillah before entering your home with the right foot or not? If not, you're inviting the devil inside. Before I close my doors, windows, everything, this is another topic on its own. Huh?
Right.
Do I say Bismillah or not? If I don't, you're inviting the jinn to come and spend the night. And if they like the place, they're going to stay over there.
Allah.
What do you think they're going to do?
So a person will just be causing it for themselves. By not, you know, saying Bismillah before entering their home, even making intentions before entering one's home. I mean, you know, you know, when it comes to a husband and wife, right? Are they, what intentions can either spouse make for putting a morsel of food in their mouth?
To practice upon the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that to do so is a sadaqah, is a charity, to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to enter happiness into the heart of my spouse.
So to put a morsel of food in your spouse's mouth
is considered
sadaqah, charity.
So like this, you know, we can, you know, but it comes with training. Tarbiyah. This is where Dawud Islami comes in. That if you are in this environment, if you're involved in the activities, you listen to the weekly booklet or you read the weekly booklet, you attend the weekly ijtimas, brothers travel in qafilas, there's always reminders. You watch Madani Muzakara, always reminders are there. And by reminding ourselves, we get to remind others as well. Our children, our spouses, our family members. Whether the person practices or not is not in your control. But my responsibility is to pass the message. I learned it. Don't keep it with yourself. Because if you're going to keep it with yourself, no, all this knowledge, it took me so many years to read, to listen to bayans, everything. Why must I just share it with others? You know what's going to happen? You're going to go to the grave and nobody's going to benefit.
Allah.
You won't even benefit. But if you share that ilm nafi'ah with somebody, what you learned, you're sharing it because you know, when I go to my grave and the person I shared it with is still alive, they're practicing, I'm getting reward in my grave.
Subhanallah.
That's how I need to think. I mean, I mustn't be like, you know what, no, I'm going to keep the knowledge to myself in my heart, in my mind. I will be the biggest loser. And I will have regret because it's not benefiting me when I die.
Allah, Allah.
And like that, so tarbiyah, training is necessary, good company is necessary to train ourselves to make good intentions when we are doing good deeds.
Also, Masab, you know, a person, since you were speaking of showing off riya, etc., a person shouldn't stop doing good deeds due to the fear of showing off.
No.
They should still keep on doing good deeds. That shouldn't put them off the track and say, you know what, because I have this thing in me that I'm going to show off, then I don't want to give charity, I don't want to recite Quran, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. So a person shouldn't have this type of mentality as well. Rather, they should keep on correcting their intentions.
There's a strategy of shaitan.
To stop so that's a tactic as well
it's
of
a
shaitan.
Tactic. Imam al-Ghazali, rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, he mentions the same thing, he says. He says, if a person is doing good deeds, but he knows that he's doing it with, you know, evil intentions of showing off.
Right.
He knows. He's weak, but he's doing the good deeds. Now the thought comes in the mind, hey, why must I do it? Just leave it because I'm doing it. I'm earning punishment because I'm doing it with a rotten intention. Let me just leave it. Imam Ghazali says, that is a tactic of shaitan.
Allah.
You must continue doing that good deed. And then slowly you work on eradicating the evil intention. So one day the evil intention will become weak and removed and the good deed remains.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. That was really, really beautiful, Masab. And you know, also recall, since you were also mentioning some beautiful acts and deeds that a person does and the intentions, the many intentions that they can make before doing those acts. And if we take, for example, fragrance, right? And a person, I mean, there are so many intentions a person can make. He can make, firstly, that I am using itr for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for others not to have any or to get any unpleasant smell, mm-hmm. so that I can keep the masjid fragranted. Mm-hmm. I mean, so many beautiful intentions a person can make just by applying fragrances, by applying attar. And on the other hand, Imam Ghazali rahimahullah, he says that if a person puts fragrance, puts attar, with this intention in mind that he wants to show how good he is smelling, and he wants to show that by the smell how rich he is. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah, he says that on the day of Qiyamah, that smell will come like so, it will have a stench,
Allah.
And it will stink, and it will have a foul smell on the day of Qiyamah. So the views of Madani channel, there are so many beautiful intentions that we can make before doing even a mubah act. Your daily chores that you do, you know, you're cleaning the house, you're doing something, you're washing the dishes, you're hanging the clothes, you're helping someone, you're helping your parents, you're helping your family relatives, you're helping other fellow Muslims. All of these acts, if you make an intention beforehand, instead of those acts going to waste, they can become rewarding for you. And you'll be rewarded for that.
Subhanallah.
Well, Muasab, there is much more to discuss on this beautiful topic. Mashallah. Of course, it is a very wide and in-depth topic as well. But mashallah, we have shed much light so far on this topic. And for now, we do have a very beautiful kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us go and listen to this beautiful and melodious kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we will be right back thereafter to discuss further on with this beautiful topic, inshaAllah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Bakare khash hairanam aghithni ya رسول اللہ بکار خیش حیرانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم پریشانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم پریشانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ ندارم جز تو مل جائے ندانم جز تو ماوائے ندانم جز تو مل جائے جز تم آوائے تو ہی خود ساز و سامانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ تو ہی خود ساز و سامانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم پریشانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم پریشانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ شہاب کس نوازی کن طبیبا چار سازی کن شہاب کس نوازی کن طبیبا چار سازی کن مریض درد عصیانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ مریض درد عصیانم أغثني يا رسول الله
پریشانم پریشانم أغثني يا رسول الله
اگر رانی اگر خانی غلامم من تا سلطانی اگر رانی اگر خانی غلامم من تا سلطانی دیگر چیزیں نمی دانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ دیگر چیزیں نمی دانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
یا رسول
پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
گناہ در جانم آتش زد قیامت شعلہ می خیزد گناہ در جانم آتش زد قیامت شعلہ می خیزد مدد اے آب حیوانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ مدد اے آب حیوانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
چمر غم نخل جا سوزد بہارم را خزا سوزد چمر غم نخل جا سوزد بہارم را خزاں سوزد نریزد برگ ایمانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ نریزد برگ ایمانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
چو محشر فتنہ انگیزد بلائے بے اماخی زد چو محشر فتنہ انگیزد بلائے بے اماخی زد بجویم از تو درمانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ بجویم از تو درمانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
پدر را نفرت آید پسر را وحشت افزاید پدر را نفرت آید پسر را وحشت افزاید تو گیری زیر دامانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ تو گیری زیر دامانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم پریشانم
دستگیر
یا رسول اللہ
گدائے آمد اے سلطان با امید کرم نالا گردانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ تہی داما مگردانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
رضایت سائل بے پر تو ہی سلطان لا تنگر رضایت سائل بے پر تو ہی سلطان لا تنگر شہاب ہرے عزیز خانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ شہاب ہرے عزیز خانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سبحان اللہ What a melodious kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well, dear viewers of Madani Channel, coming back to our topic in which we are discussing intentions make an impact. And alhamdulillah, we have shed much light on this topic. And as we know that time is always of the essence. We just have about a minute before we conclude this beautiful episode. Are there any parting words from you, Mansab?
And I remember once Amir Ahl-Sunnah Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah had mentioned regarding intention, good intentions, that niyat saf manzil asa.
So
if your intention is clean and pure and good, then your destination is easy.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. What a beautiful advice from Amir Ahl-Sunnah Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, that if your intention is good, the destination becomes easy. So always make intentions in your life. Don't ever lose that. Always make intentions and you would see how easily you reach your destination. And always remember that every deed, every good deed, it starts with a silent whisper in your heart. And that is an intention. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all the ability, the tawfiq to always make good intentions before we carry out any act, inshallah, any good act, any mubah act. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom. Treasures of wisdom, treasures.